2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to read start in verse number 11 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to start reading in verse number 11. Just read down to verse number 13, and then we'll have a word of prayer. But in 2 Samuel chapter number 23, verse number 11, the Bible says this: "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time into the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the word of God today. I thank you, Lord, for the song that was just sung. And Lord, may our hearts be content with what makes you pleased and honored. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, you would again bless the remainder of this service. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, please empower. Lord, I yield myself to you. I pray that my thoughts would be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, and that God, you would be in control, and that your Son would be lifted up. I pray you put a hedge about this place. And Lord, as the devil would love to send distractions and discouragement our way, I just pray that God, our minds and our hearts would be focused upon your word, and the Spirit would have free course. And Lord, I love you, and I pray if there's anyone here today that's not saved, Lord, today would be the day of their salvation. I pray for those who are saved, Lord, you would encourage our hearts today, Lord, to live and to fight for the things that are right. Lord, we love you, and in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. I like this passage of Scripture because here's a man by the name of Shammah, and Shammah decides he's going to defend the lentils, or the beans, or the peas. Depends how you look at that word. I love eating peas.
Yeah. Right.
And I know I'm in the rarity. My family hates them. I'm the only one that will eat them in my family. Anybody else love peas? Raise your hand.
Yes.
All right. Look. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. My wife, look around. Yes. All right. My children, thank you. All right. You know, not many people, I love them. I can make a mean thing of peas. I made them the other day, and my son, he goes, "I like these." He said, "I like Dad's peas." He said, "Because they don't taste like peas." Then you don't like peas, you know. But I can tell you to make them. You put them in a. You don't put them in a pot. I mean, that's boring. And I use canned peas. I'll use fresh ones. If you want to bring them to me, I'm in. But I'll take a can. I'll put them in a skillet, and get some little bit of olive oil, hot, some butter. Some of you should be taking notes. All right. Some cut up onions in there, a little bit of garlic, and just a touch of sugar, just to give them a little. And you heat them things up. Oh, they're good. All right, I love them, and that's why probably Alex said they didn't taste like peas, but they're good. All right, but this guy in the Bible, his name is Shammah. He defended this patch of peas and wasn't going to let the Philistines have them. The Philistines were just coming through and wreaking havoc throughout Israel. They sought Israel's destruction, and Shammah said, "That's enough. I'm going to stand." In this age in which we live in today, we need more Shammahs. The world's trying to destroy what is right and holy and godly, and we need more who will say, "That's enough. We're going to take a stand for this." And Shammah did so. And I just want to share a few things that the Lord showed me here in this passage of Scripture. And I pray that you'll listen and allow the Lord to speak to you. Number one, I want you to notice this in verse number 11. I want you to see the enemy's plan. The enemy's plan. In verse number 11, it says, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop." The first part of their plan, and there you'll see three things that the Philistines did here, but the first thing that they did was they gathered together into a troop. I believe their first tactic was that of scaring them. They gathered together. That word troop there means a lively mob. They got together.
And they were going to start marching towards the Israelites here. And they all gathered together in this troop, this lively mob. And they were heading there to try to intimidate and scare the children of Israel. Now, it was effective. Because Israel ran away. Right? Run for your lives. They ran. Except for one man, Shammah. But it worked. And make no mistake, the Bible says this in the New Testament, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. The devil's trying to do the same thing today. He's trying to intimidate and scare God's people. You and I, as a Christian, like no time in the last, thousand years, we better have a backbone. If you're going to stand for what's right, it's going to take some courage. I hear all the time about the silent majority. And my question is this, why are you silent?
Right. Yes. Right.
Now again, we speak the truth in love, and I've already just spent an entire month, but the Bible says not to pick fights and argue and just for the sake of trying to prove a point. But that doesn't negate the importance of the fact that you and I must take a stand for what's right. We must speak the truth in love. The Bible says, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, the Bible says. You know, if we're going to have some success in reaching a lost world, it's going to take some who will be willing to stand up and not be intimidated by the world and say, thus saith the Lord. We live in a world today that we need more that will speak the truth in love, that's not intimidated. That will look at the lost world and say, and make no mistake, as I say this today, there is zero anger in my heart. I'm smiling, all right? There's zero bitterness in my heart. I'm not mad at anyone. I don't hate anyone. Matter of fact, I'm speaking this truth because I love. And so I say this today, that doctrine matters. What you believe matters. This idea that there are a few essential things and a lot of non-essential things is garbage. If the Bible talks about it, it's essential. No, I'm not going to argue. You know, but I am going to speak the truth. Because we have that obligation. Fornication is sin. We live in a world today that wants to accept it. And our young people are being brainwashed into thinking it's no big deal. Well, to God, it is a big deal.
Yes.
It's a matter of purity. You're sinning against your own body. You're sinning against yourself. And you're sinning against the glory that God wants to do and work in your life. It's a sin. Adultery is a sin. Amen. That spouse that you have coveted and made a covenant with before God, you are never to break that covenant. And to do so is sin. That's not popular today. The world just accepts it. I even saw an article the other day on the internet that said, why to women, it was written, and the title was, why having an affair will help your family. I read it. Because I thought, this is crazy. And it was crazy. It's wicked sin. But on television, on movies, all of fornication and adultery is thrown around like it's normal. And while we, as an adult, sitting here with our tie on, we'll sit there and say, yes, that's sin, our kids are starting to accept it as being normal. Because they're inundated with it. And I'm here today to tell you that's not normal. It's sin. Drugs, alcohol, it's sin. Now, I hate that these things can be very addictive. And matter of fact, in September, by God's grace, we're launching a new ministry to try to help those who are bound in these addictions. We want to help them because God gives victory.
Yes.
And God will. God will. He can overcome. He that is born of God overcometh the world.
Yes.
You can overcome sin.
Yes.
You know, I speak this in love, that abuse is wicked and wrong.
Yes.
And those who would abuse, those who would abuse someone else, those who would abuse a spouse, those who would abuse a child, God uses strong words towards those who would abuse some little child.
Yes.
Be better that a millstone were tied around your throat and cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. I'm only preaching because it's becoming a little bit too normal in our society today. And we aren't affected by it like we should be. Sodomy is a sin. I love everybody, but sodomy is a sin. Nudity is wrong. I mean, you're not amening me as loud as you were, all right? The Bible says so. It's a shame. These perversions that are out there. I mean, I could go on and on and on. But the fact is this, the silent majority needs to speak up.
Yes.
The silent majority needs to say, you know what? No, that's not right. That's why the loud minority is impacting and influencing as they are. Because just like this mob of Philistines, they're loud, they're lively, and they're unified. You know, I don't know how many people were standing in this field, but the Philistines were on the Israelites' land, and there were more Israelites on Israelite land than there were Philistines. But the Israelites ran. Because they got intimidated. To the child of God today, you have no reason to be intimidated by a lost world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes.
Yea, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Yes.
But the Israelites, they ran away. To the believer today, I want to encourage you, don't run. Don't hush. Don't be intimidated. But it's the enemy's plan. The enemy's plan has not changed. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And you see there that they try to scare them. Again, look at verse number 11. The Philistines were gathered together in a troop. But not only did they try to scare them, but they tried to starve them. It says, where was a piece of ground full of lentils? They went to a place. They could have attacked wherever they wanted to. They could have went to the town. They could have went. But they chose this place. Now, why did they choose this place? Well, we know from verse number 13 that it was harvest time. Everybody see that?
Right.
And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time. So they're all a lot of the Israelites, and there was quite a group of them because the Bible says that the people fled. It wasn't like Shammah was the only one out there. There was a lot of people out in the fields. Why were a lot of people out in the fields? It was harvest time. Why did the Philistines choose to go there at this time? Because they knew as an enemy that if you can go, and they went through no doubt making all this noise and brandishing their swords and whatever they had, but they were destroying these crops. They were destroying, they chose this field on purpose. Because if you can take away the people's food supply, they're weak. They're dependent. You can control them. So no doubt they all came through to the Philistines. No doubt chopping whatever they could, stomping on whatever they could, laughing probably if they could, set things on fire. We know that people did that in those times. They just wanted to destroy and then get rid of all this. It's a tactic that enemies have used for, thousands of years. You can study it in history. They go and burn their fields. They till up their ground. They'd sow it with salt and things so they could, if you take away the food, you take away their strength, you take away their security, and that's what they were coming in. And they're chopping it all up, right? And all the people said, run! And they're crushing everything. And you can only imagine they're trying to destroy this harvest time food supply. The world tries the same thing today. They try to scare us and intimidate us, and they try to starve us. See, we're all eating good. I'm not talking about the physical food. We are all eating good, praise the Lord, right? But there's something far worse in Amos chapter 8 and verse number 11. We got to be careful. Brother Susie, can you put Amos 8, 11 on the board for me? But there's something beyond physical food, and we have this issue today. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Make no mistake, we live in perilous times. I believe we're approaching the end times. I know we're closer than we've ever been before, and I'm not sad about that. Even so, come quickly. Praise the Lord. But notice, as we enter these perilous times, these last days, it will be perilous times. The Bible says so. Things are going to wax worse and worse. The Bible says so. And by no coincidence is the devil trying to shut the mouth of the preachers.
Right, yes.
I'm thankful that you've probably read stories too. There's multiple different accounts. Valedictorians given addresses at public schools that were way too Christian, and they were told to shut their mouth.
Yes.
And praise the Lord, some of them still got to speak. They won, and they should.
That's
praise
right.
The Lord. But it's not just happening now. It's been happening. It's just getting a whole lot worse.
Right. Yes.
I'm very blessed to live in this country. You are too. But they're still arresting people in Canada for having church. And they'll let them out of jail if they just promise not to meet and preach to their people. Now, I'm not boo-hooing and I'm not upset. I'm just telling you, you're going to see more and more of this. And it will happen here one day.
Yes.
Because the devil has to shut the mouth of those who will proclaim the Word of God.
Yes.
I'm thankful I have the inspired Word of God right here in front
yes.
of me. And by that, I'm referring to a King James Bible for us as English-speaking people. But there's a whole lot of versions out there.
Yes.
Why is there so many different versions or perversions of the Bible that are out there? Because the devil's trying to bring confusion.
Right.
The devil's trying to starve people from truth.
Right. Yes.
So be it from the government or from the school system or from your workplace. Some in this auditorium have been told not to share their faith at church or at work. More and more restrictions on going out and trying to be a witness and handing out tracts and talking to people. The devil knows what he's doing. If he can destroy the food supply, we'll be left with a weak people. So what does he do? Again, he's not coming yet with swords and spears like the Philistines were, but everybody look at me for a second. He uses entertainment.
Yes.
He uses entertainment. I'm not against, having a good time and, having, some entertainment here and there is a wonderful thing. But here's the issue. That we live in such a world that is so entertained that even in this auditorium that there are people that haven't picked up their Bible all week, but they've watched countless hours of television and internet and all this other stuff.
Right.
I'm not against watching a good show. I'm not against watching a good baseball game. I'm not against, all whatever, all right? But when you don't have time for the Word of God, you're being over-entertained.
Yes.
And the devil knows what he's doing. He just wants you to be happy, entertained, and he's sitting back as long as you're not getting fed.
That's right.
Because if he can control the food supply, you all understand what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
If he can control how much you get,
yes.
He'll leave you weak.
Mm-hmm.
Very dependent. He's trying to starve us through entertainment.
Yes.
He's trying to starve us through the fact that the typical person, and I'm talking about typical Christian today, wakes up in the morning. And we spend so much time
checking out Facebook, and we spend so much time checking out all of our social media and reading the news and all these things, and I'm not against anything. There's nothing wrong with that unless you're looking at me today and you didn't have time to read your Bible.
Right.
Unless you didn't have time to pray.
Yes.
But you have time for all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices.
Right.
He would love to amuse you. The word amuse, means, you know, absent musing, thinking. He doesn't want you to think. He doesn't want you to study.
Right.
In the summers, I try to give a challenge to our church, and I'll share one tonight. But we need to be students of the Word of God.
Yes.
We need to take the time. Listen to me. If you don't have a walk with God, you're going to struggle as a Christian.
That's right.
You're going to starve to death as a Christian.
Yes.
Well, it's not a big deal if the devil can take away your daily bread. Amen?
Yes, he will.
The Lord said it. Give us this day our daily bread.
Right.
It's no wonder we live in a church age today of carnality. Because
yes.
I'm just telling you the fact that the typical Christian, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone sitting in a pew. I'm just telling you that you can do your own study and find it out. The typical Christian does not have a walk with God. They watch TV. They won't miss the news. They read, and they post every day on their social media. But they have no idea what it is to read through the Word of God and to have God speak to our hearts. No wonder we're struggling.
Shame.
No wonder, look at me, we're quiet. No wonder we're running. I mean, I just preached it. If we're going to stand, if we're going to be God's child, we need to stand up for these things. Speak out against sin. But one of the reasons we don't is because we're not sure what to say. Beyond this, well, it's wrong. Why? Ask him. Pointing at me, right? No, we all need to know the Word of God. And we all need to walk with God. And you're never going to, people that y'all love to throw back in the face, I know if you read your Bible and pray, you'll be okay. Yes, it helps. Amen. It does. And it's usually that crowd that doesn't do it, that loves to point the finger and say, oh yeah, whatever. Try it out. Get some accountability. I'm thankful. Every morning now, I send out what I read to 6 different people. You know, for what reason? Because we're holding each other accountable.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for that. I want the accountability. And I love that. I love reading what God has spoken to them about. That's a wonderful thing, because if we don't have this food supply, you control the food. You control the people. Just giving you a history lesson. The devil would love to starve us to death through entertainment. And I'll give you another E. He loves to starve us to death through employment. Make no mistake. Every able-bodied man should work and provide, and if you don't provide for your home, you're worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
Every able-bodied man ought to be a hard worker and provide. Every wife ought to be busy and helping and doing, and as the Proverbs 31 saying, providing for her house.
Yes.
Amen. Laziness is a wicked sin. Amen for that. But we live in a cash-crazy world today that loves to get as much money as they can, all the while never having time for God.
Right.
It'd be better for you and your family to live in a 2 less bedroom house and to have a relationship with God and kids that love the Lord than to have all the automobiles and houses in the world.
Yes.
But the devil knows what he's doing. And young couples plan for the future, work hard, but don't end up being 55 years old and having spent your life building up a fortune and you never had time to serve God.
That's right. Yes.
Amen. I'll amen that myself.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Because you look back one day, because I'm in a lot of nursing homes. I know a lot of people that made a lot of money in a nursing home, that now the nursing home owns everything they made.
Yes.
and every property they owned.
Yes.
But I've also met a lot of people in a lot of nursing homes that serve God that nobody could touch that because they laid up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal and destroy. Have some priorities in your life.
Yes.
We need some shamas who will understand what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to starve us through entertainment and through employment. And I really believe in 2020, the devil also tried to starve us through an epidemic. I look back, and you do too. And it was trying times, and we were all trying to figure out life. And I understand it. We have to take whatever safety to keep people safe, and I get it too. But the Lord said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Yes. That day is approaching.
Yes.
The Lord's coming back. And so much more we need each other. So much more we need the preaching and teaching of God's word.
Amen.
The devil tried to cut off the food supply. Do y'all see the devil's plan? He tries to scare and intimidate. He tries to starve because it leaves you vulnerable. You'll give up to the enemy. But there's also a third thing I believe they tried. The devil's plan was slavery. It says there, and the people fled from the Philistines. Why did the people flee? Because if they were caught, they would be taken back. It was just history. Most of the men would be killed. The women and children would be taken back and made servants and slaves, controlled by the Philistines. And here's something just to consider, that the devil's plan is that of, again, starving and scaring and intimidating, but also to keep people in bondage. Because if he can keep you in bondage, he controls you.
That's right.
Brother Souza, one more time, Galatians 5:1. But I want you to consider something. Now, we live in a world today that addiction is a very serious issue. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us what?
Free.
Free. Yes. And to the believer, be not entangled again with the yoke of what?
Bondage.
And you can say, and yes, the lost world is in bondage. They are. They don't even realize it, but they're in bondage to sin. But you and I as believers can be, again, entangled in the yoke and the bondage of sin.
Yes.
Sin can control my life. It doesn't have to, because I've been made victorious. Through Christ, sin doesn't have power over me. But I can't give myself to it. I don't want to, and I fear it, and you should too. But the devil, what he would love to do is to intimidate God's people. He would love to starve God's people, and he is. I'm not pointing it because Adam Baptist Temple saying that's happening, but I'm telling you, look around, he is. Because he wants to keep people in slavery and bondage. Because if he can control, he keeps people bound to their sin to where they think, I can't. And not just sin. Everybody look at me a second. To the bondage of finances, the bondage of addictions, the bondage of grief, the bondage of fear. I'm just trying to be very real in 2021. These are things the devil's trying to do to keep control of God's people. We do not need to live in fear, child of God. We do not need to live under the power of any sin, child of God. It's sad today. Pornography controls a lot of saved men. Music. There are many that are being held bondage, slaves to a type of music. Cursing, lying, a bottle, being a thief. Let's do an ouch. There are people that are slaves to their phones.
Yes, yes.
I'm all thankful for every tool that we can use for the glory of God. But there are some people that are slaves to it. To television, to movies. You see, the devil's not going to come in and have some, you know, somebody march in here today and take us out in chains. Because we'd all rise up. We got security everywhere, and we got cameras. They ain't happening today. Amen. We're in America. Fight for our freedoms. Amen. The devil's not going to do that today. But some of you can't wait to get out so you can sit in front of a screen again. You can't turn it off. And he's starving you. And you're scared to turn it off. Because what am I going to do? You become a slave to these things.
Yes.
Christ has set us free. Yes. Amen. So you see the enemy's plan. But look at this. In closing, you see the champion's stand. Now my mind, this is the way my mind works. I have an imagination. But I can see the Philistines coming in and crushing everything, cutting all the vines, making all the noise. All the people in the field, the Israelites, like, and they run, right? I mean, there's a whole lot of commotion. Right. I can see the dust flying up because they're out there in the fields, the dirt's flying, and the Philistines start laughing and say, look at them running. And as the dust settles down, there he is.
Yes.
The Philistines say, what's up with this guy? You're all by yourself.
Yeah,
I know. You better run with all your people. I'm not running. I love this guy.
Yes.
It's just a bunch of beans.
Yes.
They're worth fighting for. Because you let the enemy get this, and they're not going to stop marching. Then Shammah says, I'm not moving. And no doubt they all said, okay. And I can see them almost encircling him. One guy, that's what you would do. But I want you to see how this champion got a victory that day. Look at verse number 12. Number one, it starts with a mindset. It says, but he stood in the midst of the ground.
Yep.
Love that.
Yep.
He did not hide. He didn't put on, I forget the name of it, you hunters would know it, that one of them suits that looks like you're like a giant bush walking around, right? What's that thing called? Ghillie, yeah, right? He didn't put that on. He didn't dig a trench and hide underneath the beans. Nor did he go stand on the edge just in case things didn't work out, he could run. He went and stood right in the middle. I mean, right smack in the middle. He said, I'm not moving. He had the right mindset. And that mindset was this. This is worth standing for. You can laugh at me. You can surround me. I'm not moving. If we don't have that mindset, we're going to have issues living in this culture, in this world. He had the right mindset. He didn't. I love the fact that he stood right in the middle. That ought to just pump you up, man.
Yes.
You see his mindset and you see his motivation. He stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. What was his motivation? The peas.
Right.
That's what he was defending.
Right.
And defended it. Mm-hmm. Little grammar lesson. The it refers to the lentils. That piece of land. Because he knew that that food was life.
Right. Right. Yes.
Oh, catch us. It may seem like a simple little patch of peas,
right.
But his children depended on it.
That's right.
Amen.
And his wife would die without it.
Yes.
And his neighbor would starve. And he said, I'm defending it. The Philistines probably rolled their eyes. Seriously? Out of everything, you're going to stand here? It wouldn't have stopped at peas, though. It would have been the corn next, and the livestock, then their houses, then their cities, then their children. We have a bad issue going on in God's churches today where children are walking away from the faith.
Yeah.
Right. You can blame the world all you want to, but we need more shamans to take a stand and say these little things, we're not going to budge on them.
Right.
It's just music. Yeah, we're not going to move. It's just a different rewording of the Bible. Same thing, different translation. No, we're not changing.
Amen.
I'm going to stand here.
Amen.
We need more shamas that understand the devil's not content with taking one thing after he gets the music. And music just seems to be one of those first things.
Right.
Music's not the sole issue. It's the heart behind it that's choosing it. Brother Tyler did a great job teaching on that. It'll go after the music and the dress and all the other things that the Christian world calls non-essentials. I got news for you. They're essential.
Yes.
They're about not as non-essential as the peas.
Right.
Shama, go home. You can grow more peas.
No.
Not these.
Right.
And if I give these up, they're not stopping. Take a stand. That's why we take a strong stand on baptism. We hold a standard with the supper, and it's not our rules, it's the Lord's table.
Amen.
So we try to follow that. You say, well, let some things go. We can't. I gave an illustration one time, playing a little tug of war. You know, if me and, you know, Brother Josh was playing a tug of war and you were watching us pull the rope, if I let go just a little bit, I lose. The moment I say, it's over. Because there's a constant pull. We have to have the right mindset. We have to have the right motivation that these things are worth fighting for. Because they're in this book.
Yes.
The right mindset, the right motivation. And then I use this last word, malicious. Maliciousness. Look what it says there in verse number 12. He stood in the midst. That still fires me up.
Yep.
And defended it.
Yep.
And he slew the Philistines.
Yes.
He said, these things are worth fighting for. Now, everybody, look at me. The battle got real.
Yes.
I've heard for quite a while that, you know, we're blessed to live in this country. Amen.
Right.
We don't face a lot what the other world faces. Amen.
Right.
We got it easy. Amen. But sometimes I start to scratch my head and say, maybe we're not engaged in the battle like we should be. I'm sure there were other men out in the fields that didn't have the same battle Shama had, because Shama decided to stand. Let me ask you a question, because it is impossible to live for Christ. Impossible to live for Christ in June of 2021, even in this country, without having to stand.
Yes, right.
So how real is the battle to you? How real is the battle? No doubt a bunch of others went home, locked the doors, and said, we're safe. Amen. Fine. But that's not where Shama was. I don't know how the battle went, uttered in this. Shama 1.
Yes.
The battle got very real. And the world's going to turn up the heat, and the battle will get worse. They're going to do their best to keep people from meeting and speaking up for God and call any stand that speaks against what the world's philosophy is as being hate speech. And there's nothing hateful about what I'm saying.
That's right.
I love everybody.
That's right.
Amen. So let the record show. I love everybody. But I'm thankful that there's been often times when my parents, often times when preachers got up and said, this is sin, and the Holy Spirit said, Travis Burke, you need to get this right. And I'm thankful for people that loved me enough to tell me the truth. But the fact is this, that the battle's going to have to get real.
Yes.
You may have to unplug the computer. You may need to set yourself some boundaries on your phone. How about doing something else than just watching movies every night? We used to say, get rid of your cassettes. We then threw and broke our CDs in pieces. Well, you may need to hit delete on your MP3 files. You say, what are you talking about? Engaging in a battle. There's a battle going on.
Yes.
Every mother and father, there's a battle going on for your kids. The devil wants them.
Yes.
The world wants them.
Yes.
You say, I don't really sense a battle. Then you're not engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Go stand in the middle of the field and start fighting for these things. It'll get real. I don't know what all happened, but I know this, it got a little dirty. Because you don't slay an entire troop of Philistines without it being a little bit messy.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes. Probably got a little ugly.
Right.
We don't want to get our hands dirty. Well, we need to.
Right.
And I'm not talking sin. I mean get in the battle. But I want to close with this. You see, his mindset is motivation and the maliciousness. But then I want you to see the might. Because I'm looking at you today telling you this, Shama didn't win. See, but all the Philistines were slain. It wasn't Shama. Look at verse 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground. Awesome. And defended it, the peas, and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory.
Yes. Yes.
It was not Shama.
Yes.
It was Shama just saying, God, use me.
Amen.
Yep. If Shama would have fought the battle in his own might, those Philistines would have whooped him.
That's right.
He was outnumbered, outmight.
Yep.
He had no chance.
Right.
But Shama said, Lord, you use us.
Yes.
Here I am. I don't know what weapon he used. I don't know how he did it. But the Lord wrought the victory. It might have been that Shama stood there and they all came and the Lord just struck them down.
Right.
Could have. You don't know any different. Other than they were all slain.
Right.
My imagination could go 101 different directions here. And there's some cool stories going on in my head right now. But all I know is this. Shama went home that day with some peas.
Right. Right.
And said, come on back. Field's ready.
Mm-hmm.
There's a field out there. And if we just keep running home and we don't stand, we're going to lose the field.
Yes.
But if we'll surrender ourselves to God, God can do some great things.
Yes.
We need some more shamas.